Whistleblower Report, exposing lies, deceptions, and all that has assaulted our way of life. We must take back our freedom and live as God designed in a free America that honors our Constitution and our Creator. Our experts in medicine, ministry, law, military, environment, and education empower us to grow together as a nation. For such a time as this, the Whistleblower Report offers truth and solutions. Welcome to the Whistleblower Report. This is Dr. Lee for America, and here with our international team today. And one of the things that we want to be talking about is all that is happening on the world stage. This is our international report with Dr. Mike Eden, Dr. Jonathan Gilthorpe from the UK and Sweden, and of course, I'm in the US. And we want everyone to understand what's going on globally, still under the radar, and there are courageous whistleblowers and physicians and scientists raising these issues. But we want to talk about what has been recently exposed in Britain with Pfizer and AstraZeneca bribing doctors, regulators, and the media in Britain, uncovering the extensive corruption in every sector. We want to focus today on the fact that the corruption, bribery, and criminal actions are occurring in every sector: medicine, law, government, politics, the economy, banking, regulators, pharma, media. It doesn't matter. Every sector has been corrupted by this massive global agenda. And we're going to talk more specifically about where all of that is coming from and how it is being organized, coordinated in tentacles that are strangling our freedom and our lives at every possible turn. The WHO pandemic treaty appears for now to have been derailed thanks to the outpouring of opposition from politicians and the public, scientists, physicians, and people of courage. However, that is just the tip of the iceberg. And in many ways, the WHO pandemic treaty is a distraction from the broader and far more sinister UN Agenda 2021, and now called Agenda 2030, under the auspices of the United Nations, which basically is a private club of oligarchs and elite globalists who have decided they are in control of the rest of us. They are not elected. They do not serve the interest of the people. They do not serve the interest of humanity, and they don't serve the interest of sovereign nations. We're going to talk more about that today as well. But first, I want you to hear this clip.
Possibly recommend such a thing. Well, here's your answer. Between 2020 to 2023, the UK HSA accepted around £500,000 from Big Pharma, a lot of it from Pfizer. And here's the University College London Hospital's NHS Foundation Trust, which took over £1 million from Big Pharma over the COVID years, and notably from Pfizer and AstraZeneca. And what of the NHS itself? You know, delving into the database revealed an absolute horror show of corruption. Here are the three opening pages of named doctors involved in consultancy work for Big Pharma. And here's a page of Abdul's, Now let's take a random Abdul and see what comes up. I'll pick Abdul Jahangir, top right. There you go. Close to £4,000 from AstraZeneca. I could go on. There are hundreds of these pages and thousands of doctors' names, and finding one without Pfizer or AstraZeneca payments is no mean achievement. The corruption is off the scale. Now, why doesn't Britain's Medicines and Healthcare Products Regulatory Agency, or MHRA, do something about this corruption, you might ask? And the answer is because the MHRA received over £13 million from Bill Gates over the last few years. Why doesn't the British media tell you about this medical scandal? Answer, because the BBC, Daily Telegraph, Guardian, etc. all received multi-million pound funding from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. And that's not to mention that the media watchdog Ofcom is run by Dame Melanie Dawes, who is firmly in bed with the World Economic Forum, including their countering digital hate censorship vehicle, where hate actually means inconvenient truth. And Melanie Dawes, of course, was behind the removal of genuine truth-teller Mark Stein from GB News. So why doesn't the British government do something about our corrupt health industry, you might ask? And the answer, sadly, is that most of the politicians may well be deeply corrupt as well. I mean, look at them here, scurrying out of the House of Commons when the brave and honourable MP Andrew Bridgen stood to talk about vaccine damage. Take note of the white-haired chap who skedaddles, bent almost double after instructing other MPs to leave the floor.
Andrew Bridgen. Mr. Deputy Speaker, on the 13th of December last year, I was kindly granted an adjournment debate on the potential harms that emergency use experimental mRNA COVID-19 vaccines cause. It's fair to say that night my life changed.
What a truly disgusting shower these politicians are, and one wonders how many of them are on Big Pharma's payroll. And the skedaddling MP, by the way, is the Right Honourable Andrew Mitchell. Right Honourable. What a perverse description that is. And here he is with vaccine billionaire Bill Gates, and here again with Bill Gates at a Gavi conference. And Gavi, incidentally, is the Gates-funded Vaccine Alliance, a public-private organisation which pretty much controls global vaccines alongside the World Health Organization. And here is the Right Honourable Andrew Mitchell with WHO head honcho Tedros Ghebreyesus. He could possibly reckon.
Well, I think that pretty much says it all about every institution in Britain has been corrupted by bribery payments from WHO, Bill Gates Foundation, and other entities such as Pfizer and AstraZeneca, and likely many other big pharma companies. So Dr. Eden, Dr. Gilthorpe, we'll get into the UN tentacles in a few moments, but what are your thoughts, since both of you are British citizens, what are your thoughts about what we've just heard?
Well, perhaps that's Dr. Eden, and maybe I could just kick off Jonathan, since I still live in the UK. So everything that doctor said rang true to me. It's a number of those things I know personally, I've discovered them personally, certainly been in touch with the MP Andrew Bridgen that they mentioned. And it is certainly true, unfortunately, that the pharmaceutical industry and I suspect banks behind them have funneled enormous amounts of money to, unfortunately, all of the institutions that you and I would regularly have contact with. So certainly broadcasters, newspapers, regulators of media companies, the NHS as an organization, NHS Trust hospitals as individual institutions, doctors, many of whom receive consulting fees, and then unfortunately coming right down local to my wife's family doctor, who I won't name, I bumped into her in the supermarket at Christmas time, and I didn't want to speak to her. I could hardly bear to look at her. But my wife went to speak to her, and then she waved me over. And the lady said, appallingly, she said, "Oh, Dr. Eden, I've been following all your work." And I said, "Well, why are you still in a surgery? Are you still injecting people with these vaccines that you know are harmful?" She said, "I'm only one of five partners in this practice. I can't do anything." And then a few minutes later, she drove off in her brand new German SUV. So there are people amongst us, as well as institutions, that are taking money and feel somehow powerless to resist. Maybe they're not looking at what's happening, but it comes right down to my family doctor is taking money to inject people with things that she knows from me verbally and in writing are harmful, and then says paradoxically that she's both followed my work and is continuing to do that. So this is the level of corruption and interference that we have in our communities. That's what I would say. It's not just 30,000 feet above your head. It extends all the way down. It's systemic. Jonathan.
Yeah, I mean, it's, I wouldn't say these people are doing it deliberately. There are people with an agenda that are obviously driving this forward much more quickly than it happened before. I think, you know, Mike, your doctor probably thinks she's just doing the right thing, but she's also acting in her own self-interest and not in the interest of the patients that she has sworn an oath to protect and to look after. I read a very, very intelligent article by someone under the name of John Michael Greer. He has a blog called Ica Sophia, and he wrote this week about the state of society and why we're in this condition. It's something that, you know, develops in highly developed societies called a lenocracy, from the Latin word of leno, meaning a pimp, so someone that controls prostitutes. And that's a form of political economy in which the productive economic activity gets squeezed dry by these various kinds of legally mandated pimping, you know, which is what you see essentially coming down from governments now. They tax everything. If you want to set up a newspaper now, you need to pay, and you're regulated by Ofcom, and everything involves more mini taxes in order to do something within the legal framework. And what that does effectively, it just drains the productive economy for, so the people that are producing from raw goods and materials are slowly being sucked dry by this society. And it, you know, it only gets worse because nobody's willing in that middle management area, which has expanded dramatically in the last 20, 30, 40 years. None of them are willing to take a pay cut. You know, when the business cycle turns down, when you should be cutting costs in order to make things more affordable, what will happen is those people just, you know, put in more taxes in place or demand more money for to fill their pockets or to keep their level of life, you know, their lifestyle that they're accustomed to, but they won't adjust. And therefore, eventually the system blows up. And I think that's what we're seeing. This is one of the side effects of it, but this is, you know, and it's also an immoral society because we lose sight of what's really important, you know, people's lives and people's welfare. And I think this doctor buying a flashy BMW and you know, living off the pain and suffering of other people that have, you know, accepted COVID-19 vaccines and she's got paid to administer them is a classic example of that.
Yeah, well, I think you're right. And go ahead, Dr. Yu.
Yeah, no, I was just going to agree. So you carry on, Dr. Lee. I agree absolutely. I think it's unlikely that many people, as it were, start with a dark, evil heart. I don't think they do. I do, however, think a lot of people, once they've, as we would say, taken the shilling or 40 pieces of silver, whatever it is, find it almost impossible to get out. That is a real problem because, yeah, the incentives are tied to complying with the project. And then, you know, as they say, show me the incentive, someone famously said, and I will show you the results. And so that very cleverly is the way many people have been corrupted who didn't start with that as their intention.
Well, I think both of you are exactly right. And we've seen it in this country with people who've gone down the slippery slope of government payments, pharma payments as consultants and other ways that pharma compensates doctors in practice. And one of the recent articles that I read and interviews I listened to was by Dr. Paul Thomas, retired pediatrician in the U.S., who talked very specifically about the fact that without the federal payments for vaccinations, most pediatric practices in the United States would go out of business. They are sustained by the payments for vaccination. And it's across the board. And that is compliance with the CDC multiple vaccination schedule. And I'm just appalled at how many of these ostensible vaccines they give to children at the same time. And they're on 2 month, 4 month, 6 months schedules. So these children are just being overloaded with this whole array of vaccines, so that by the time a child becomes 18 in the United States, they've gotten something like 85 to 90 different shots. It's absolutely staggering. And since I'm not a pediatrician, I had not been aware until the last 4 or 5 years how extensively expanded the childhood vaccination schedule was. So it's been absolutely shocking. Dr. Gilthorpe, you have a comment.
I don't know whether Jonathan Gilthorpe will come back in a moment, but
Sorry, I was muted.
Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I thought it was a very good point, Dr. Lee, because if we, you know, thinking about the history of how this developed, this goes back to the Reagan administration's decision to remove the liability for vaccine producers, and that removed a very important barrier then that was restricting pharma companies from making damaging vaccines. Because now all they needed to do was persuade the regulators to get their shots onto the childhood vaccination program, and it was free money for them.
Well, exactly. But let me clarify something about that. Living and working in the U.S. at the time, President Reagan was actually vehemently opposed himself to removing immunity for Big Pharma. And he had planned, and it was announced in the media, that he was going to veto that bill if Congress put it on his desk. And Big Pharma essentially engaged in extortion and blackmail. Those are my words. I'm not a lawyer, but that's how I saw it. They threatened the President of the United States, if he vetoed that bill, they would stop making all vaccines in the United States, period. And they essentially engaged in collusion and what I consider extortion, and threatened the President of the United States. And that was what ended up President Reagan decided not to veto the bill. And that is what led to the devastating situation that we see today. So, to his credit, as president, he had announced that he was opposed to it and would veto it. And that's what took place. I was just appalled by that at the time. And I think we've seen the damage as a result, because no pharmaceutical company making any vaccine has any immunity for damage of their product. I can't imagine any other product in the U.S. where product liability litigation has been a huge issue for my whole life. There's no other product that I know of that has blanket immunity for damage caused by the product they make. And once it goes on the childhood schedule, that's it. That was the pathway to blanket immunity. And I don't think a lot of parents really realize that until it's too late. But let's look at how that fits into the broader and even more sinister UN agenda, which has been flying under the radar. You know, there's a recent post, and we will cite the references in our show description column today, but the WHO and the pandemic treaty is really just one aspect of the larger serious agenda of total global tentacles of control under the UN agenda, now called Agenda 2030 or the Great Reset. And even if the US were to leave the WHO tomorrow, that does not solve all of the problems of the tentacles from the beast of control that is represented by the United Nations. Dr. Rima Lebeau has been exposing this danger since 2009 and has used the term the UN death machine, that really, as she says it so eloquently, has to be defeated if humanity has a chance to survive. And right now, for Americans to help promote and stand against, the U.S. Congress has before it the Disengaging Entirely from the UN Debacle Act of 2023. It's House Resolution 6645 slash, and then in the Senate 3428. And you can read the link that we provide that shows what the act says in its entirety. And if this act is passed with enough votes to override what we know will be a veto by the puppet President Biden, and the U.S. could exit all of these organizations, the UN, the WHO, the World Trade Organization, and all of the other aspects of this tentacle of control, we would be able to eliminate the threat of Agenda 2030, the pandemic treaty, international health regulations, One Health, 15-minute cities, and all of this. So I encourage all of our listeners to go to the website, the PreventGenocide2030.org. We will invite Dr. Rima Lebeau to be on the show in upcoming weeks. But Dr. Gilthorpe, I really would like for you to share with our listeners, as soon as we come back from a short break, the list of these horrific UN agendas and initiatives that most people may not realize are all coordinated towards depopulation and the death of humanity and life as we know it. This is Dr. Lee with the Whistleblower Report from Tooth for Health Foundation. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back after the break with more on the UN agenda and the tentacles of control of our lives that are underway beyond the World Health Organization pandemic treaty. We'll be right back after the break. Check out our website at www.truthforhealth.org. And check out our store for all of the high-quality products that can help keep you on the road to improving your health and resilience. I take a lot of them myself, and I've seen a difference in how I feel. So check it out. We'll be right back after the break.
We live in a world full of disinformation, lies, and deceit, often from those institutions and individuals that we used to rely on and trust. In the chaos that surrounds us on a daily basis, it's difficult to find a place for truthful information and helpful guidance. Where can we turn for honest answers, critical solutions, and information that empowers us to be the person that God intended? The Truth for Health Foundation. The Truth for Health Foundation works every day to fight for your basic human rights. We have a track record of providing life-saving emergency actions that can improve your health and empower you with the tools to be safe, happy, and free to live your life. With over 100,000 supporters around the world, we are a critical voice of truth in today's world. We invite you to join our community of financial supporters so that we can continue to be your trusted partner for health, for life, for resilience. Join us today by giving now.
True Bio D3, available only at truthforhealthstore.com, contains vitamin D3, cholecalciferol, and convenient soft gels. Our vitamin D3 is the bioidentical form of vitamin D, synthesized in the body from cholesterol following activation by UV rays in sunlight. This form is excellent for maintaining healthy levels of vitamin D in the body. And mounting evidence suggests vitamin D not only plays an important role in maintaining bone health, but also in supporting immune, neurological, musculoskeletal, cellular, and cardiovascular health too. Get your bottle of True Bio D3 only at truthforhealthstore.com.
Welcome back to the second half of the Whistleblower Report. International Report with Dr. Mike Eden, Dr. Jonathan Gilthorpe, and yours truly, Dr. Lee for America, physician in the U.S. in practice, and also the CEO of Truth for Health Foundation. So we started talking about the UN Agenda 2030 and all of the tentacles of global control. So Dr. Gilthorpe, from the list on PreventGenocide2030.org website, let's share with our listeners the list of these very sinister and alarming plans from the United Nations.
Yeah, so a list of the programs, Dr. Lee. So basically, you know, the UN is the central hub for all of these organizations. You have the WHO, you've got the World Economic Forum, which is connected, UNDRIP, which is the United Declaration for the Rights of Indigenous Peoples. There is the UNESCO, which is the United Nations Educational, Scientific and Cultural Organization. And UNICEF, which is the United Nations International Children's Emergency Fund. And there are others that we've talked about, like C4 Cities, for example. And, you know, one very interesting thing here is that the UN is essentially a Luciferian organization. Their main publisher is something called the Lucis Trust, which was previously called the Lucifer Trust. And that's founded out of Madame Helen Blavatsky and her Theosophy organization, but you know, essentially their mindset is Luciferian, where you're very happily dress something up as the opposite. So all these organizations appear to be doing good for the good of mankind, but they're actually set about to, you know, get their tentacles into every area of life and control us. And I didn't realize this until the last few years. You know, there are some people like Dr. Lebow that knew about this a long time ago and was talking that, you know, pandemics and vaccines would be used to cull the population in the future. And so what we've got is the Sustainable Development Goals. We've got UN Agenda 21, 2030, the WHO Pandemic Treaty and the International Health Regulations, which we've talked about a lot. WHO's One Health, which is where the, you know, everything on the planet has equal rights to humans, and you know, any crisis in the environment can be used to control human behavior. There's the Codex Alimentarius, which is the list of foods and nutrition and nutrients, as well as contaminants, which is also a WHO agenda. We've got the climate emergency, net zero, We've got bioweapons in the form of vaccines, but also nanotechnology and chemtrails, geoengineering, terraforming, development and deployment of those, which we've also talked about on the show quite often. Falsification of science, using climate, using virology, false pandemics, which are basically man-made or just made up. Epidemiology, genetics, etc. So science has been totally captured, I think we could say. The health vaccine fraud, that you know, taking a vaccine for a particular disease is going to make you more healthy. Well, it's probably not in most cases, unless it's a very potent toxin maybe that might take your life, such as tetanus. I don't know. You need to look at the studies that have been done on every vaccine now, because you really can't trust any of them, I would say. Then we have social control. We've got lockdowns, social distancing, masking, mandates, emergencies. There's the transhumanism agenda where, you know, humans are being slowly dehumanized and converted to a form where we could potentially make, babies in incubators, Brave New World, Aldous Huxley stuff. And then connecting humans up to biodigital convergent systems and into the internet of bodies. So everyone is connected digitally through some kind of network. Destruction of culture, destruction of religion, a normalization of behaviors which are, you know, quite frankly, in most cases, abhorrent. Paedophilia, fetishism, child pornography, gender ideology, you know, using diversity, inclusion, and equity, pretending to include everyone, but really just driving a agenda to get people to change their particular views on life. Psychological control, using education to capture children, hypersexualization, which is something coming in through the WHO now into schools, political capture of religious dogmas, using the, you know, this idea of one world religion, which won't be a good one world religion. It will be a control one world religion, and probably based on Luciferian doctrines, I would say. Depopulation genocide, destruction of agriculture and the food supply, inducing famine, destruction of parental rights, property rights, land grabs through, you know, UNDRIP, which I mentioned, is one way to capture land using indigenous rights, but actually remove them from the indigenous people. Rewilding, 15-minute cities, C40 cities, taking away national borders, removing all sovereignty, forcing migration, legal and illegal, censoring people that want to bring this up and make it clear that what's happening by branding it as disinformation, misinformation, and then universal total surveillance tools using smart objects, smart meters, smart light systems, phones, etc., and introduction of digital currencies and social credit scores. And that's, you know, basically what's listed in there, and we bring up many of these things on a weekly basis, but this is being coordinated through these united or international organizations, which, you know, all sprang out of the end of World War II, essentially. I don't know if you've got any comments on that.
Well, I think it helps to list all of them together. You're right. All of us on this show have been talking about the bits and pieces of this, but somehow looking at it all laid out in one list really hits home with the enormity of this plan that has been developed really over about the last 150 years. Mm-hmm. And it goes back, as all of us know, to the eugenics movement that began in America with Margaret Sanger, and in the UK, wasn't it Aldous Huxley?
Yeah, it certainly, or Julian Huxley probably, but yes, Julian, the multi-generational, okay, Huxley family are very important. And so Huxley's brother, Julian, was the founding chair of UNESCO. So the United Nations, I think it's Science and Culture Organization. And again, you might think it's, oh, that's benign, isn't it? But what UNESCO has done is anoint various places as World Heritage Sites, shortly after that, the people who live near it are restricted and can never gain access to it ever again. So gradually, over time, UNESCO has kind of pushed people, ordinary people, away from places of beauty and significance. So they're not benign.
No, well, the one that wasn't on that list was the World Wildlife Fund, which is also used in a similar way in order to, you know, claim you're protecting certain animals or species, and then, you know, use that in order to bring in land controls. Actually, there is a law going through Sweden now. They're trying to change. So if you own forestry, which many people do in Sweden, you know, small areas, because that was an earlier, their livelihood in the 18 and early 1900s was to cut the trees and sell the timber. They're trying to make it that the individual owner, rather than the government organization, is responsible to keep track of all these various endangered species on their land. So if they, you know, cut down the trees, but there's some three-toed woodpecker living there, it's going to be that person's responsibility now. Previously, it was the responsibility of the government agency to keep track of these species. Now, these landowners don't have any competence to go around necessarily and find these wild orchids or endangered species. They could say anything's endangered, and then but then use that to prosecute potentially and take land from people. So, yeah, this is an enormous agenda, I think, Mike, and it's, you're quite right. That's, you know, and I think people should look out for that, because it's always used to say that it's for our good, but it's definitely not for our good. And it's also not for the good of the environment either.
Actually, it's for the good of the pocketbooks of the globalists who are trying to get rid of the rest of us, I would have to say.
Yeah, I'm afraid so. The eugenics theme does come through very strongly, and whether it started in America or with the so-called liberals, wealthy intelligentsia in Britain, I couldn't say, but those two together, they definitely go back, as you say, at least 150 years. My own research takes me back to then, just to give people just an example of things that I've come across. The very famous early science fiction writer, H.G. Wells, who wrote things like The Time Machine, The War of the Worlds, things like that. At university, Oxbridge, he was, amongst other things, a tutor of Aldous Huxley, who later wrote Brave New World. And then a couple of decades later, also at Oxbridge, he was a tutor, I believe, in French of one young man called George Orwell. So if you think of War of the Worlds and Brave New World and 1984 as random bits of rather beautiful imaginative fiction, I think they're partly predictive fiction rather than warnings, but that's a personal view. But what I can tell you is that these gentlemen knew each other personally and moved in the same set in the early part of the 20th century.
And promoted the same ideas.
They did. Yes. They believed in eugenics. They think, they have stated that obviously, you know, they are the superior form, and they should, for example, say, whether, you know, what have you done in the last year? Why we should keep you alive? You know, some of these people would appear on radio and jokingly give lectures like this. And of course, it seemed funny at the time to hear these old lectures played back, but they weren't joking. They believed that it was for them to decide whether people like you and me and our listeners, whether they should keep you alive or not, which of course is completely outrageous. But over time, people like them and a few hundred other people, probably a very small number, formed these ideas that gave rise to world-spanning organizations. They are not formless. They have been carefully thought through. And as Jonathan indicated, they've developed a series of agendas that fit together. So, for example, you know, we always pick on, if you're in America, you pick on the Rockefeller Foundation, because they were the richest people in the world, having a monopoly almost on oil. But yes, that money has been used to drive some of these agendas. And there are several other very famous families whose fortunes have been gradually hitched to this eugenics cart. And you find historically, for example, that one of the Rockefellers personally picked out one young student called Henry Kissinger, who I think died a year ago, about 101. Now, Kissinger had an enormous role to play, I think, for the globalists. Think of opening up China with Nixon, I think, in the 70s. I was a teenager. Think how important China has been to deindustrializing Europe and America. And then, isn't it?
Well, Kissinger also wrote in 1974, oh, yes, the Population Report, we have on our truthforhealth.org website.
Yeah. He basically said America needs to take responsibility for controlling the population of the world. I just wanted to point out in terms of connections that a young Swiss-German engineer attended a summer school in America where Kissinger was a lecturer, and after a little while chose that young for Swiss-German engineer. His name was Klaus Schwab. So you go from Rockefeller to Kissinger to Schwab. That is 100 years. So I've given you two examples through literature and society and now kind of business and global events. I'm afraid it's all real, folks, what Jonathan just read out. There is a spine stretching back, you know, as you say, almost 100 years. And you can see all of these agendas budding off that. And we will conquer these people, I think, first by rejecting the incredulity, which will naturally be your first response. It certainly was mine. But I've now had sufficient exposure to, you know, the corruption of pharma and the design of injections that are harmful. I knew they would be before they were rolled out. That fits perfectly now with all of the things I've subsequently learned. But I would have struggled to accept them had I not first seen, with the evidence of my own training and my own eyes, and then what happened through the COVID, quote, pandemic, which is a fraud, which ultimately led to 6 billion people rolling their sleeves up to receive something that was dangerous. So it's that chilling. And the moment we stop dismissing it and take it seriously, that's the moment we start humanity's real fight back.
You know, those are some very significant connections that you've just linked. H.G. Wells tutored Aldous Huxley, who wrote Brave New World, and George Orwell, who wrote 1984, and Rockefeller selected Kissinger, who selected Klaus Schwab.
Correct.
Unbelievable. And that Kissinger population report in 1974 was quite chilling. And that was also the time when Paul Ehrlich was writing the book and publicizing the movement. He wrote the book, The Population Bomb, and was publicizing the zero population growth movement. Because I remember that when I was teaching biology before I went into medicine.
Yeah, it's interesting that Paul Ehrlich was not, you know, a guy who studied populations. You know, he wasn't an anthropologist or anything. I think he studied bees or insects of some kind. I can't remember the details, but I've got a feeling his wife was connected to one of the people who had this as their long-time agenda. And so this book that he wrote, and he's still alive, I think he was probably prompted either by his wife or by an academic connected to his wife who provided the money to, you know, let's write this book. And interestingly, around the same time, a business organization called the Club of Rome was formed. And again, it's really easy if you suspend disbelief and just start to do a little searching, you find again big money connected to a group of academics and philosophers who came up with this idea that obviously you can't have limitless growth on a limited world. Yes, I think we agree with that. But furthermore, the Club of Rome came up with projections, and apparently no matter what they did with their models, remember it's computer models that is really the modern tyranny, they said that by 2040, significantly, that humanity would collapse. Whatever they did to economic growth, to pollution, to oil provision, whatever they did, it would all blow up by then. So I think they were seeding the idea in people's heads that, oh dear, we're doomed by 2040. And I remember hearing about that again as a teenager and thinking, well, I thought I'll be an old man by then. I would be 70. And so I kind of didn't really give much of a thought to it. But again, it's very much, I think, a mixture of predictive programming, I think, is very important. Honestly, I have taken the time and trouble as a scientist to look at the global demographics. And a lot of people believe that the world is overpopulated. And there's two kinds of knowledge. There's things that you know because you've observed it yourself, or you have personally, you've gone through the logic that takes you from, you know, the data to a conclusion. That's fine. Things you know. And then there's a whole bunch of other things that classify like this. Someone told you and you chose to believe it. And the overpopulation myth belongs to the latter category. And because once you start looking at the data, I'll just give you a for example, every human being on the planet will comfortably fit in the state of Texas, and they could have a plot. I think it's 100 foot on a side, something like that. Everybody. So, and then when you take off in an aeroplane from London Airport, one of the most densely populated countries in the West in Europe, within a couple of minutes, you can't see a house. Even this densely occupied country is mostly fields and trees. And I assure you, if you fly out over, well, I have had the pleasure, if you fly out over America, you can hardly see cities once you're 10 minutes up. The world is a bountiful, open place. We are small and relatively insignificant, and we are certainly not overpopulated. And when you look at the rate of change of total human population, almost every nation, I think there are a couple of sub-Saharan nations still growing quickly, but almost every other country, the ladies and the men together, they're not having enough children even to replace the existing population. This seems to be partly a consequence of economic well-being, personal choice, and that's great. But the idea that we're going to breed like bacteria and outgrow the flask, and we're a cancer on the face of the earth, which is what the eugenicists term us, that's not true. With the population left to its own devices, would plateau about where we are now, and will, if anything, I remember Elon Musk, God bless him, I don't like him very much, but he says the biggest challenge by the end of the century will be population collapse. And he said it twice, population collapse. And I agree, even if we were not facing the eugenicists, we are not overgrowing the world. We have not boiled the environment, and pandemics are not real. We're just being lied to.
Well, I think those are some extremely critically important points. And the decline in live births in all of the heavily vaccinated Western countries is way below the replacement. I mean, we really are looking at collapse of the populations of people in the heavily vaccinated, let's say G8 Western countries. Look at what Sweden's birth rate has done in the UK. Dr. Gilthorpe, what's the current data on Sweden's decline in live birth rate?
It's around in about 12% per month, Dr. Leaf, since 8 months after the COVID injections were unrolled.
12% a month?
12% per month lower than, it's fluctuated probably between 8 and 12, but it's still a steady 12% below what it was in 2021.
Wow.
Early 2021.
It was below replacement, Jonathan. I think it was below replacement anyway.
Yes.
And so now it's fallen a further 1/8, something like
that.
Yeah,
I think I've forgotten exactly the numbers, but Dr. Sven Rahman, that I work with quite closely in the Doctor's Appeal, he calculated a couple of months ago, I think it was something like 30,000 less children were born compared to what they would have been. And that's, you know, that's the population of Sweden is only 10 million. So that's pretty a large productive part of the future economy. If we're losing 12% per month, yeah.
That is devastating. What about the UK? Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, I don't know, but what it's going to be used to is justify mass immigration to provide, you know, new people and then dilute out the natural population even more. Or there was a movement going through Parliament which was trying to make it possible for men to have babies and for womb transplantation. So we can see where it. Well, I see where this is going, because this Huxley book, Brave New World, which was a contemporary, you know, the oldest, who's the contemporary of Orwell, in that book, all babies were born in incubators. You know, they were synthetically or fertilized and then grown in an incubator away from the mother, so that you know, society was producing the children that it needed, but totally artificially. And this is the way transhumanism is going. Remove the mother from the equation, and then you know, remove that 9 months of very close contact between child and mother, you'll, I guess, be giving birth to some kind of autistic savant that you know, maybe does what it's told or excels in certain things, but is totally devoid of any emotions. It's scary.
It's just it is so sick and perverted and horrific. It's really hard for those of us with a normal concept of right and wrong and humanity. It's just hard to even wrap your mind around how people can conceptualize such evil.
Well, and tricked into accepting it, I think, also, Dr. Lee, because I don't think necessarily the people putting forward these bills are aware of what they're doing. They're just, you know, do-gooding or on the latest phase of social justice. They haven't learned the history. They don't know where this comes from. And I think this is a perpetual threat against humanity. It's just technology has enabled it to get really wider spread than it's ever been before. And also the, you know, the cheap credit and industrial boom on cheap credit post World War II has enabled the elites to put us all to sleep in some way that you know, most people aren't even aware or even care that this is a possibility. They think, oh yeah, the world is overpopulated. Yeah, we need to get rid of some people because there's just too many of us. This is so people have just bought the lie, basically.
And I think, just to say again, I think one of the lies that you will find is extremely prevalent, and you'll see them driving up and down your streets near you, people buying electric vehicles, you know, battery electric vehicles. I'm absolutely certain, as a professional scientist, that humans are not causing significant climate change, certainly not catastrophic climate change. You must believe me, this is nonsense. So it's one of these things that people think is very well established. They're told that 97% of scientists agree, but they don't. That's just completely fake. It's so bad that I could make a bold statement that is, CO2 has got nothing to do whatever with the temperature of the world. And even professional colleagues would go, steady on, Mike. But I'm afraid it's true. It warms things up in a greenhouse, but in the open atmosphere, all that happens is the energy that's trapped is transferred to other molecules and re-radiated out in space via other wavelengths. CO2's got nothing whatsoever to do with temperature, and that means it makes no difference if you burn oil and coal, if you want. CO2, if anything, is at the lower end of its range that it's been in geological history, and had it been much lower at the end of the last ice age, it would have terminated plant life on Earth, because airborne CO2, of course, is plant food. And so all of that's nonsense too. It's just utter nonsense, even though it's been going on for decades, pretty much unchallenged. And as Jonathan said, the ubiquity of instant mass communication through computers and worse, mobile devices is an absolute anathema, because people stop thinking and they just keep stroking their devices. You know, if it's not TikTok, it's the bloody news, excuse my language. And the news is largely lies. So anyway, the good news is, once you realize that all things that are large, international, and rather scary are all fake, every one of them, there aren't any pandemics, we're not boiling the atmosphere, believe it or not. At the end of Second World War, we the Americans, we the Allies, did not drop two nuclear weapons on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. I've got a book written by Michael Palmer, who's a radiobiologist and an MD, and you need about 10 minutes to start reading the evidence of the measurements made by scientists in Japan and visiting from America. About 5 minutes later, you realize, oh my God, the whole thing was a fraud. It's been maintained fraudulently for decades. I don't know what the state of affairs is now with nuclear weapons. I don't have the training, but I can read. And we were lied to in 1945. And even the tests that took place in the 10 years after that were fake. So maybe they solved it in the late 50s. Maybe they didn't. So when you look at what's happening in Ukraine, and the allies and NATO mustering up to Russia, and you think, oh my God, it's going to be a nuclear war. Well, I think if they are going to create that scenario, it's because they damn well know there aren't any. But I've said to people jokingly, but I'm quite serious, if it comes across on the BBC that there's been a limited nuclear exchange in Europe, I'm off out for a long walk because they're lying, right? They're not going to tell you the truth. And my strong advice to anybody, if you're still watching mainstream media, is please don't. They only lie to you. The old joke used to be, if you don't read the papers, you're uninformed. If you do read the papers, you are misinformed. Still true.
I think that is a powerful summary for our show today. And I encourage all of our listeners, go to Project Genocide 2030. .org, read the list of the sinister UN agendas and initiatives and programs designed to usurp every aspect of our ability to live as free human beings or to even sustain life at all as we know it. This is Dr. Lee for America with the Whistleblower Report. Today, it's time to get involved, involve yourself, and speak out against these initiatives to take away your life and your control, your freedom, and our national sovereignty. We'll be back again with another Whistleblower Report. Thank you for joining us today. And go check out our website, truthforhealth.org. And sign up for our email newsletters. Be part of our crusade to bring truth, hope, and solutions against the lies and deception and efforts to destroy our lives.